Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Today's world is stunningly complex. Science and technology have made it possible for our work lives and our entertainment to be the realm of microchips, fiber optics, and LEDs. Yet, some of life's greatest joys remain the simple things. In our latest trek on the road for Faith Radio, we welcome a man who finds great humor in everyday life happenings and has made a career of helping his audience laugh at his discoveries. Jeff Allen makes his living as a corporate and inspirational comedian. He's taken his act from the stage to Comedy Central, Showtime, and VH1. He was also the featured act at President George W. Bush's inauguration celebration. Jeff, it's a delight to have you here on the road. Thanks so much for being with us.
I appreciate the fact that you dropped the charges and let me come on, man. I think that's wonderful.
Well, we prayed about it and thought this was a good time for the healing to begin. What adventures have you been up to lately, brother?
Trying to get the lawn mowed. We've been under a rain thing for like 3 days. And because I always wait too long anyway, now it's really long. And I think we lost our granddaughter out there somewhere. I've got to go look for her when we're done talking.
So. I'm very sorry to hear that. I wish you the best.
Yeah.
Now, many of your comedic offerings spring from the life of your family, plays a central role in your stories, and we'll play right here off the top an example of that trend from your act, which finds you and your wife attending a costume party. Here we go with that.
We were at a costume party a few years back, costume party. I hear the sigh. I look up, she's doing this. She's that subtle, trust me. So a friend of mine goes, I think Tammy's having a stroke. So, no, I think she wants to talk to me outside. If I'm not back, I enjoyed myself. I walk outside, she goes, stop it, you're acting like a fool. I said, I'm dressed as a green bean. What's proper public etiquette for a lejeune? She goes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These are my friends. These are not your comedy friends. These people have self-respect and dignity. Like, I'm going to stand there and take any abuse from a cucumber. You can chill, Dill. See, a couple of you thought it was funny, too. I was walking home that night, 5 miles in my green bean feet, I'll tell you. I tried to hitchhike, but take my word for it. Nobody in America is picking up a 6'2" green bean on the side of the road. 1969, 70, you had a chance for a ride. Now they just pull over, wait for you to get close. What's it like in a valley? Ho, 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 and a takeoff.
So, Jeff, what is the secret to finding mirth in the ordinary things of everyday life?
Woody Allen said comedy was tragedy plus time, you know, and that to me means if you have time to heal from wounds, you should find humor in them, and it's well documented. I was not a good man when I got married, and you know, when you discover the joy of a relationship with Christ, it changes your perspective on the pain and the you know, what did somebody say, that to the heathen, pain is central, joy is peripheral, and to the Christian, joy should be central and suffering peripheral. So to find the joy and you know, something like that, obviously in the night that happened, it was not a good night. So, I don't change much. I said to Tammy, I said, my gift, I guess, is just taking notes.
That's marvelous. Well, you mentioned the change that came to you when you found your faith, and that's an interesting part of your story, obviously, and I want to ask you more about that in just a moment, but did you pinpoint this gift of humor even before that? I mean, I think so many of us want to be funny, and we look at people like yourself, and we wonder, was this a gift you had pretty much from age 4, or was it something you discovered along the way?
Well, I don't know about stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is something that, you know, it's like, I guess, trying to teach somebody to sing the that doesn't sing. Rhythm and timing is something I think you're either born with or not. But as far as humor, I think I used it as a defense. You know, my brother internalized everything, was more, it was a lot quieter and brooding and moody, and I was a lot more gregarious. And then in school, obviously, obnoxious was the word I heard a lot. I was, you know, always had a desire to do this. I didn't know how, when I got out of college, where you go to anything. I was very blessed that I started in 1978, right about the time the comedy clubs boomed. So there were actual places where comedians would go and work out. Prior to that, you know, I don't know what they did. I really don't, you know.
That's the voice of Jeff Allen, an internationally known comedian and a man of great faith in Jesus. We're here on the road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. Now, you alluded to it. You came to faith in your fourth decade of existence, Jeff, and I want to ask you about that path to Jesus in just a moment, but here's an amusing example of what prayer life can be in the Allen household first from Jeff's comedic offerings.
We lived our life at the table. I was 40 years old when Christ captured my heart. 40. So our kids were probably 11 and 7 at the time. So we started praying at dinner for the first time in our family life. So I said to my youngest son, he's about 7, I said, why don't you say the prayer tonight? And he goes, and he ends the prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. And the oldest goes, nuh-uh. It's amen. He goes, nuh-uh. Pastor says amen. Nuh-uh. Pastor says amen. Nuh-uh. Pastor says amen. Amen, 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 amen. At one point, Tammy goes, will you say something? I go, you're not enjoying this? I love good theological debate. I said, boys, you've just stumbled upon the reason there are 5,000 Christian denominations in the world today. Why don't you be pastor of the Church of the Amens? You pastor the Church of the Amens. And as you bicker with each other about who heard the true voice of God, you can miss the fruits of Christ entirely in your life. Huh?
In fairness, now, Jeff, it seems like maybe arguments are a little bit more amusing in your house than some of our houses, but is that necessarily always the case, or is that just a highlight?
Yeah, we were talking a little off air about radio interviews and contention, and I've never had a contentious interview on the radio, but I listen to them all the time on the talk radios, and I don't know how people get anything accomplished when they're just shouting over everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always said that the best thing that Tammy and I have done after 29 years, we know how to argue with each other, and she knows how to end it with me. It was when she'll stop and go something along the lines of, since you already know what I'm going to say, why don't you just finish this discussion for the two of us?
As faith infuses your comedy, the worldview, and the way you look at the world, what was it then that did compel you to follow Jesus?
I think Jesus did. There came a point where I could not deny the truth. And mine started with, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. And then, you know, there's names for it. I didn't know there was a name for it. If someone had come to me and said, you're a nihilist, I would have never, well, what is that? And
right.
Then, you know, when they explained it, I went, oh, yeah, I am pretty much. Yeah, I didn't believe there was anything in this life redeeming at all. And then you get married and you have kids and you want to know why you're so miserable, and the whole world's telling you should be happy, at peace, and content. I kind of went the gambit. I started with, New Age, and then Buddhism, and then eventually I realized that, humanism might be it. I went to philosophy and everything. I kind of exhausted every attempt that I could at putting myself central and as God of my universe. And it would always dissipate. What I describe it best is I had a spiritual thirst that could only be quenched through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right. I didn't know that. So here you are. Here I am. You know, seeking. You know, I'm reading. I'm listening. I'm following. I'm doing everything I can. I believe that was God's hand, just kind of pulling me along. Okay, you think this is it? Here, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. You know, and then eventually I got to the Book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible through a pastor in Denton, Texas, Tom Nelson. And it was the Book of Ecclesiastes, which I think is one of the most honest. You know, Solomon understood life in America, certainly from a materialistic and a nihilistic point of view, better than anything I had read up to that point. And I couldn't believe that was in the Bible. I mean, I was like, because it was so honest.
Absolutely.
Meaningless, meaningless, it's all meaningless. You know, we all want to be happy. But if happiness is of an act of will, then why aren't we happy? So if you're looking for happiness outside of yourself, and it's something that isn't eternal, then that means it's always going to be fleeting, and it'll always pass. And that's what Solomon's conclusions were. Life without God will have no meaning. Without meaning, there's no purpose. Without purpose, you might as well commit suicide. And you're not going to find meaning and purpose outside of the eternal. Even Sartre said that. Jean-Paul Sartre said that for anything finite to have ultimate meaning, there has to be something connected to it that's infinite and not moving. It has to be stationary, and that's the eternal, you know, the eternal God. God never moves. God never changes. So it was like eye-opening. I went, wow. I mean, when I first heard the wow, I mean, I had like a year and a half's worth of this guy's tapes that I never opened up, you know, and then finally I just started ripping them open. I just couldn't get enough of the Bible. And I think for the church, we need to get back to the Bible and understand that, you know, there's it either is what it claimed to be for centuries, or we're in trouble.
You know? Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
I know I am, because I've got a bookshelf. I'm looking at, you know, 1,000 books in my basement here, you know, and they were all quests to find meaning outside of God.
Well, that is a fascinating tale. Jeff Allen is with us. He's an internationally known comedian, a man of great faith in Jesus, and a deep thinker, as well, as you can hear on the road. This segues a bit with what you were just saying. I wanted to be sure and ask you this question, because a lot of individuals, they look at coming to faith, and in a way they look at that and they say, well, you're giving up so many things to follow Jesus, so many things that are fun, so many things that you simply can't do now that you're a person of faith. Is that your experience? Did you find that you had to give up some freedom in a sense, or would you describe that a bit differently?
Not at all. I mean, that's the paradox. That's the lie of the materialist. That's the lie. Ten Commandments make us free. I mean, you get outside of those rails, and take it from me, I lived outside those rails, and I was never more miserable in my life, because it was never ever enough.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I get it. You know, G.K. Chesterton said something like, you know, Christianity, it wasn't that Christianity was tried and found wanting. It was tried, found too difficult, and abandoned. Yeah, I mean, believe me, I sin. I stumble, I fall, I move outside of the biblical rails that God gives us to live on, which is freedom. It's true freedom. Don't commit murder. Don't lie. Don't steal. Misery in your life can be connected to a sin. It's one of the most empirically verifiable facts is the nature of man, and yet it's the most denied. Believe me, I wish I could live like Christ. I really do. I wish I could give up all of my desires, my selfishness. I asked my uncle, he's a pastor, and he's one of the calmest, coolest guys I've ever met. And I said, when does this self-centeredness leave? And he goes, hey, let me know, because it ain't left me. And it's just these layers that God peels away, but the freedom that comes from living within the boundaries of those commandments is exhilarating at times. No, gosh, no, what'd I give up? Cocaine and booze and, you know, and I struggle with, lust today. I mean, it's just, my wife and I, we've had 100 conversations about it. I'm 59 years old, and that desire and that strength, of that pull just continues to have its way with me at times. And, I don't ever want to give in to that and say that just abandon God and go, well, I should just feed the beast inside me. Everybody around me will suffer. Everybody, including, not only just me, but, that's the big lie, man, that somehow living within the boundaries and the parameters of what God has given man is somehow not fun. I mean, the peace of mind that comes with knowing I haven't lied to anybody today is amazing. The peace of mind that comes with of monogamy, living with my wife and knowing she's the only one. No.
That's very well said, and I had a sense that you might respond in a similar fashion to that, but that was even better said than I imagined. I salute you, sir. Now, Jeff Allen is with us here on the road, internationally known comedian and a man of great faith, as you can hear, in Jesus Christ. And you bring your sense of humor to bear across life's experiences, and as someone who has been attempting to tackle the issue of excessive mass, the weight issue particularly, I immensely enjoyed your analysis of the journey of dieting. And here's Jeff Allen from his routine with some amusing analysis on the issue of weight loss.
I don't understand this country's obsession with weight. To me, weight is nothing but a number. That's it. And everybody in this room has a number that makes them feel good about themselves. The key is to just stand on a scale and look at your number. Well, I bought a digital scale. Those numbers gradually build up to your correct weight. You can jump off anytime. See your number? Get off the scale, man. Why torture yourself? Who needs that kind of punishment? 155. That's all I'm weighing this week. No, honey, I mean, I look it, but I lost 45 pounds last night. And my wife's dieting now. That means we're all dieting. That's the rule. I got to sneak cookies in my house like I'm some kind of criminal. Go down in the basement with the boys, and I'm handing them out to the kids. One of you will betray me. Sure, but it will be the three-year-old Judas, I'm sure.
That's Jeff Allen here on the road from his comedy act and his incredible insight, I think, into the human condition. And just listening to that, Jeff, it got me thinking, it's almost an epidemic level, isn't it, that we as people just take ourselves just way too seriously at times?
Yeah, we were. My wife and I were having a conversation about stuff. And anyway, I said, I think God gave mankind the internet so that we could actually see the world the way He sees it, in all of its selfishness and all of its beauty. I mean, you can find anything you want on the internet, from the most depraved to the most selfless acts. And this is the world as it is. And this obsession with self, and I fight it because I'm in a business that, promotion is part of the business I'm in.
Right.
And I have a really hard time with self-promotion. I mean, at one point I hired somebody to do it for me, and I don't even think it's a fine line. I think to constantly try to put, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And then when I'm in a secular world, they don't want to hear the name Jesus. So, but selfies, what was her name? Kardashian just wrote a book on how to, take selfies and make them, I think we really are. So why wouldn't you be just as narcissistic in your thoughts? And I have stayed off of Facebook with any personal opinions about anything because, I got friends that, people that I friend from the road. One of my accounts is just anybody who asks, I friend. So I don't know half these people. I don't know what their politics are. I don't know what they believe. And so I made a crack a couple years ago or something. I don't know. And 12 seconds later, some guy pops in and starts hammering me. And, and I thought, boy, that's kind of neat. 12 seconds. So I waited a little while and I made a color comment, and it's like 9 seconds, like four more people pop. I said, what are you, sit in front of your computer? just waiting for things that you disagree with? So anyway, I was always good for a couple of volleys, and then I would just leave them alone. And same with Twitter. I don't care. I really don't. I try to be as well-read as I can on the issues. And I have one vote, and I make my vote. But I try not to take myself. again, it becomes emotional. And I just wrote a note in my notebook today as I was listening to some political stuff online, and I'll read it to you. This is what I jotted down in my notebook. I always need to take time to think through an argument. I have the ability to use reason and logic. Unfortunately, this is not my default position. Emotion is my default position. So my first response is one that is emotional, and that doesn't get anything accomplished. And then you don't hear very well. But if you're going to reason a disagreement out with somebody, especially when we're sharing our faith, if you don't deal with the questioner first, the person who's asking the question in his life or her life, and whatever they have gone through and why they're in a position. I mean, I'm sure you've met people who just absolutely abhor our faith.
Yep.
Abhor it. And then the first question I got to ask is, what happened? And then it gives them a chance to share the wound, possibly. Maybe the wound is so deep, you know. But how could you be that angry with Jesus if you knew anything about him? You know, and, you know, it gets to the, I always separate Christians from Jesus because, you know, if you followed me around, you know, my wife just posted a video on Facebook of some guy ripping his screen door off and throwing it across the deck. And she says, my husband has had a similar to home repairs, you know. And so if you followed me around, you wouldn't think, well, my gosh, he's not all that, special or different. But if you took the time to get to know me and you knew me 20 years ago, as certainly as my wife knew me, she would testify that there's a huge difference between those occasional outbursts and those occasional times. I always say that I forgot I was a Christian, you know, and Jesus, of course. You know, I think Gandhi said, I love the Christ. I don't care too much for the Christian.
Right.
And
right.
You understood. I mean, England had their boots on his neck, you know, and claiming to be followers of Christ. So, yeah, there's enough hypocrisy to go around, but take the time to get to know your questioner, and then that'll humble you enough to maybe not take yourself so seriously.
Well, Jeff Allen has joined us on the road here on My Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas, and this has been just a delightful interview, and one where people can really tell just how deep your faith is, Jeff, and also just how deep your thought process is. And we've talked about a lot of things we don't get to talk about. I mean, philosophers, we've talked about the Indian independence movement here on the road. This is delightful.
That's right.
But in closing, I mean, you've achieved a lot of success. We read the bio at the beginning. You've been all across television. You've been part of presidential inaugurations. I mean, you've achieved some really impressive things. So at this point in your career, I mean, what's the driving force that sees you continue to take your act across the globe and engender laughter from your audiences?
I flat out love what I do. I lost it in my 30s. Before I came to Christ, I was done, and I tried to get jobs doing other things, and anyway, when I gave my life to Christ, that was my prayer. If this is what you built me for, this is what you designed me for, then you take it, you run with it, and for gosh sakes, could I at least enjoy it, you know, and I just love what I do, and now I'm trying to, you know, to redefine what the next 10 years, you know, I'm 59 years old, coming up on 60. And so I don't know what the next 5 or 10 years is going to look like. If right. God gives me those number of years on the planet, what I can talk about, and I hope I can talk about being 60.
Understood. Well, man, it really has. We just want you to know it's been a delight to have you and to get a look at your heart and what's behind so much laughter. If people are hearing this interview here on the road and maybe they've not heard of Jeff Allen before, is there a website they should go to? You've mentioned you're not necessarily a huge fan of Facebook and Twitter, but where should they go to learn more?
Well, you go to Facebook at Jeff Allen. Go to jeffallencomedy.com. Put the comedy in there, jeffallencomedy.com. And YouTube, you know, you can YouTube. This stuff is kind of dated, but I have less hair than I have on YouTube.
Well, the mirth, the hair may be reduced, but the mirth is as huge as it has ever been with Jeff Allen, the internationally known comedian, a man of great faith in Jesus. And sir, really, really, we do mean it. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today on the road.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.